Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story of Elijah. Lord, we ask now that by the power of your Spirit, the meaning of that story is laid open to all of us. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. Good morning. I'm officially terrified, by the way. I just want to say that. There are two things when I became involved in St. Matt's that I told Nick, two things I don't do. One of which is get involved in choosing the music. And I chose the song about Elijah today. And I've already been told that's rubbish. That's okay. And the other thing I don't do is all-age worship. Terrifies me. So I went on to Facebook yesterday and contacted some friends of mine who trained with me for ordination, people who do all-age worship. And I said, what should I do? And they said, phone in sick. They know me quite well. Somebody came up with this brilliant idea, which is, don't treat it as all age, because you're trying to be everything to everyone and that won't work. Pick somebody in the congregation and aim at people younger than them. Yeah, pick them as the median. Don't be too young. Yeah. So anyway, Frieda, this is for you. Okay, Elijah, amazing man. The song that I have picked was, the opening refrain was, these are the days of Elijah. And that's really going to be my theme, that these are the days of Elijah. And when I was reading through this passage and reading through the notes that Nick gave me about the theme we're following, something struck me. And this is where I'm going to try and do my all-age bit. I'm going to involve you. Yeah? That's you. Who here has heard about Inspiring Ipswich? Just put your hand up if you know about Inspiring Ipswich. Yeah, brilliant. Put your hands down. Now, put your hands up if you don't know what Inspiring Ipswich is. Yeah? That'll be all the young people, Nick. Yeah? Not saying anything? Saying they don't know. So, Inspiring Ipswich is a fantastic thing. And it's about how we're going to spread the wonderful news of our Lord Jesus Christ to all the people around Ipswich. That's a good thing, yeah? And we want to do that because, did you know that Ipswich is the least one of the least churchy towns in the country. And that's sad. Sad face emoji. Yeah? Really not good news. So what's that got to do with Elijah? So if you get your Bibles out later on today when you're back home and you read a couple of verses before our reading, you'll find out some background about what state Israel was in. And you know what? It wasn't good. So this guy Ahab had become king of Israel. And I've got this lovely quotation from the Bible. It's from a different translation to our church Bibles. That's why I had to write it down. This is what the author of Kings writes about Ahab. He did more that was wrong in the eyes of the Lord than all of his predecessors. Ahab was a bad man. Yeah, bad. No doubt about it. And so that's not a good place, to be in a godless place. And that's really some of the issue we've now got with Ipswich, isn't it? That's what we're saying, is that there's not enough God in this place. It was also quite challenging times, because politically they were all breaking up. So if you remember, back in the day, the Jewish people had gone to God and said, you know what, God? We know you did all this for us, and you led us out of slavery, and you gave us this beautiful land which runs with milk and honey, and we have everything we need, yet, well, we think we can make it a bit better. Give us a king. That's what the people said, give us a king, and we really will be happy. So he gave them a king, and it didn't work out. So he gave them another king, David. And David sort of worked out. He was good, but he had his faults. David's son came along. he worked out, sort of. And he united the nation, but by now the nation's collapsed. It's in two. So you've got Israel and you have Judah. They're breaking up. Yeah, it's a bit like Brexit. Yeah, politically they're all over the place. They're fighting with their neighbors. It's not good. And now on top of that, we come to this massive drought. It's like global warming. Yeah? So how different is it to now? So these are the days of Elijah. That's what I was trying to get at. There are direct parallels. And God decides to look in on this mess in Israel, and he thinks, I can't let this go on, because these are my people, and I love them. And God never turns his back on his people. Yeah? So he's there and he's saying, I'm going to help these people. I'm going to do an inspiring Israel. That's what he decides to do. Inspire Israel to come back to him. You see, what Ahab had done, the worst thing he'd done, and he'd done lots of things bad, but the worst thing he'd done was he'd stopped worshipping God. And he started worshipping another god called Baal. Now, as good Christians, we know there is no other god, yeah? But Baal is real. Yeah, so we've got to know who he is. And if you read the Old Testament, you read about Baal, he gets lots of different names, but the one that has come through to modern times most is Baal Zebub, Beelzebub. Baal's the devil. Baal was there in Eden, dressed as a snake. Yeah, and this guy, Ahab, started worshipping him. Not good. Yeah, so we need to turn that around. That's what God decides. And suddenly, out of nowhere, we never hear from him before this point in the Bible, he takes Elijah and he says, Elijah, I want you to go to King Ahab, who you know is a bad guy, and I want you to stand up to him and tell him you're a bad guy and all sorts of horrible things are going to happen to you if you don't sort yourself out. Yeah? That would be the equivalent of sending one of us to Washington to see Donald Trump and say, Mr. President, you really need a hairdo. Yeah. It's going to end in tears. But Elijah does it. He goes there and he tells Ahab what it is. And then God, because God never deserts his people, gives him some really sage advice. And he says to Elijah, run. Just get out of here. And that's why Elijah finds himself where he is today. Because he's upset Ahab, because he's told him the truth. Yeah? Now, this is where I'm going to disagree with something Nick said earlier. You might never see me again. So, when Nick put the photograph up of Elijah, I'm not going to suggest that was a real photo. That's not the bit I'm disagreeing with. He said he probably had a beard. Yeah, possibly. And grey hair like Nick and I have. But we don't know that. We don't actually know that. Yeah? Elijah could have been 14 years old. Could have been. He could have been young. A lot we don't know about him. We also don't know his name. Ooh, but his name's Elijah. Yeah, maybe it wasn't. You see, in the Bible, quite often, we get given people's names because they're convenient, it's shorthand. So Elijah actually means something. Anyone know, just out of interest? He looks at Frida, hopefully. Right. It means, my God is Yahweh. Elijah means, my God is Yahweh. Yeah? It doesn't roll off the tongue like that, does it? My God is Yahweh. It's not like Wayne. Yeah? Nick, Peter, Val. Yeah? My God is Yahweh. Foy. No. Yeah? And so it might not be his real name. It's just saying, this is the sort of person he is. That's why God has sent him there, because he knows my God is Yahweh. He's not going to worship Baal. He's not going to worship anybody else apart from Yahweh. And that's what we need in Ipswich. People who will say, my God is Yahweh. My God is God. I will follow the one true God. I had a wonderful meeting earlier in the week with a lady who asked me three questions and really made me think. Really made me think. And one of the questions she asked me was, what is my dream? What do I want to see happen? And I didn't actually answer the question she asked because I thought, a bit personal. But I talked about my dream for inspiring Ipswich. And I suppose because I was thinking of this talk today and Elijah and my God is Yahweh and all the things that means, I said, my dream is that we have a church, not just St. Matt's, but every church in the deanery, every church, regardless of denomination, where the people who come in are willing to go out and say, my God is Yahweh. And that's the start of inspiring Ipswich. You see, Elijah, here, we see him, I mean, he did some pretty big things, doesn't he? I don't know, anyone here would relish the challenge of going out and seeing Donald Trump and telling him his foreign policy was pants. Yeah, or that really he should think about climate change. Yeah, I'd bottle it. Yeah, it's a big one. Elijah has picked up those tasks. But there's somebody else in this story that we heard today who would also say, my God is Yahweh. Somebody else who is incredibly obedient to God. Although really quite a big price. Because when you have nothing and people start taking from you, that's expensive. And again, we don't know a name. And that's the widow. You see, you're starving. And those pictures were really nice. I understand why we use pictures. But that's not what it would have been like. We're talking about poverty here. We're talking about a woman scrabbling around for the few twigs to make a fire to cook her last bit of flour. We're talking about a woman with nothing. Yeah, that's abject poverty. And into her world comes this guy who's been sent by God and says, I know you've got nothing, but before you look after yourself and your kid, feed me. Yeah? Feed me first. And he asks that because he's been sent to ask that. God has told him, so he's doing the right thing. And she does it because God's asked her to. And in feeding him, she's saying, my God is Yahweh. She doesn't go on to challenge Ahab. She doesn't go on to do dramatic big things. You know, there are people in this church today, I'm sure, who are being called to do big things for the Inspiring Ipswich Project. Really big things. And there are people here today who are being called to do really small things. If that widow had not done that really small thing, the story would have ended, wouldn't it? We wouldn't have moved forward. We need the people who do small things. We tend to get carried away with the people who do big things. But it's the people who do small things. And I really like the story about Elijah because it's the small thing was making bread. And if ever there's a church who could get people to make bread, it's this church. I still remember my first communion here. So it's the small things that count. Yeah, sure, in years to come, when they write the history of revival in East Anglia and they pinpoint it to starting in Ipswich, there'll be all sorts of people who are responsible in the books. Success tends to have lots of fathers. But the people who will really make it happen are the people who do the small things. And they don't have to have grey hair or have studied theology. They don't have to be eloquent. They just have to be obedient. All they've got to be able to do is say, "My God is Yahweh. My God is Yahweh." You know, the real reason I asked for that song was in the version that I'm used to. At the end of it, you finish singing those verses, you played it beautifully, thank you, and then you just go through this repetitive thing of saying, "My God is Yahweh." And that would have really fitted in here. But that's all it is. It's "My God is Yahweh." And that's the challenge, I guess, I'm giving you today. Are you willing to do that? Not here. Anyone can say it to me. It's safe in here, isn't it? We're all Christians. Are you willing to let people know when you go out of that door, "My God is Yahweh"? Because if you can do that, I promise you, it might be a small thing, but you will inspire people. And if we're going to inspire Ipswich, it begins by inspiring individuals in Ipswich. Shall we pray? Father God, we pray for this town of Ipswich. We pray for all the people in it. And Lord, we want to claim them all in your name. Lord, fill us with your spirit that we can go out and say to all we meet, "My God is Yahweh." Amen.